I'm delighted now to welcome back to the program Andrea Fisher Merrill. She is the CEO of Big Brothers Big Sisters of Northern New Mexico, and Jane Bernard, who's a volunteer with Big Brothers Big Sisters. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you, Mary Charlotte.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
So we have had you on the air, you know, from time to maybe about every year or so since I've been doing this program. But for those listeners who have never heard of Big Brothers Big Sisters, who have heard of it, don't know what it is, give us just a rundown of what this wonderful organization does.
I would love to do that. Basically, our goal is to change the trajectory of children's lives through one-to-one relationships with caring, committed, carefully screened adults, because there are just an awful lot of kids out there in northern New Mexico who, even though their parents may love them very much, just need a little extra adult attention. They need to be able to envision a way to live that's maybe a little bit different than how they grew up. And that's what we do. We work with kids ages 5 through 18, and we match them with adults. They're referred by their parents or sometimes by the school or relatives. And on occasion, we've even had kids refer themselves, which is kind of cute.
Because they heard about it in school?
They heard about it in school.
Or on the radio?
Or on the radio, yeah. They have a friend that's matched, something like that. When that happens, we interview them, and then we look through the volunteers that we have ready to be matched and put together a match. And it's really, really exciting to see what happens when those matches are made. It just can be very life-changing.
Do you have people on staff who are good matchmakers?
Absolutely. In fact, if we weren't doing this, maybe we should do a dating service.
I know, because matchmaking, it takes a kind of intuition, as well as you can look at all the stats, but sometimes you just get a feeling that this person would go well with that one.
It absolutely does. It's amusing to watch, because, you know, you would think somebody comes in, they said, this is who I want to be matched with, and as a volunteer, and the child and the parents say, this is who I want to be matched with, and on paper it might look one way, but the staff that we have are just intuitively good at looking through those things and saying, yes, but above and beyond that, I know what this child needs. And I know who this volunteer can work with. And one interesting example is that sometimes we will match women with boys because, as we've talked about before, we never have enough men who volunteer. And so we have boys who, on occasion, will have to wait for as much as 2 years. And we always ask the parents up front, would you be willing to have your boy matched with a woman? And a lot of times the moms will say, no, I think I really need a guy as a volunteer.
Do you have situations where there's a single mother who kind of wants a male energy in their son's life?
Sure. And sometimes we'll look at it and we'll agree that that's just exactly what's needed. But other times we'll think, huh, there are some other guys in this boy's life, maybe an uncle, maybe a teacher, other neighbors that seem to be pretty active in the boy's life. He just needs some extra time. And sometimes we'll come across a woman who would be great with a boy, especially some of the younger boys. And she may really like to do sports. She may like to do very active kinds of things that a boy might want to do. And
he may be not the stereotypical boy.
Or he may be not the stereotypical boy. I mean, some of the boys that we match love to go to art museums, for example, and do arts and crafts and things. So if we sense, or not me, because I'm not so good at this, it's the program staff that are, but if they sense that they've got somebody that really would be, a boy that would be great with a woman as a mentor, they'll go to the mom and say, look, would you think about this? We're not going to try and talk you into it, but just think about it. And it's really incredible. A couple years ago, our big sister of the year was matched to a little boy who just thought she ruled the world. Matchmaking is a real big part of it.
And did that relationship continue for a long time?
Oh, yeah, yeah. We ask a year's commitment, but we always hope for more than that. And right now, our average, we have two kinds of matches. The community-based matches, are one-to-one matches between an adult and a child where they can go anywhere in the community once they're screened, because we check driver's license and all that stuff. Those folks spend several hours a week, two to four times a month together, and they're typically matched for around 2 years. But we just graduated two matches last year where the boys were matched when they were 7 and 8, and they graduated from high school still matched to the same big. They're both going to UNM, and it's just really a very heartwarming story to see when that happens.
We're talking about Big Brothers and Big Sisters.
The second program that we have is school-based mentoring, and that's a great program for people who want an introduction to mentoring but have more limited time. It's an hour a week throughout the school year, and it's a great opportunity to work with elementary school kids. Those matches, we ask for a year commitment, but right now I'm very pleased to say most of our school-based matches are lasting 16 months. So,
Are they doing academics, or what are they doing in the schools?
A little bit of everything. They can spend up to half their time tutoring, and that works out well, but a lot of these kids in the beginning would rather do something else, play games or just talk. Go out and do stuff on like shoot hoops. Some of the kids that we work with in the school have had enough tutoring experiences that as soon as you say anything about that, they'll give you real pushback. But once a relationship forms, then they'll actually ask for help with homework, and then it's a much easier way to kind of help with that, with those academic needs. And it's so critical. I have just released a list of, I believe it's the 200 worst schools in the United States, high schools, they're talking about, that there's going to be a real push to work on from a wide variety of angles. And unfortunately, four of those are in our service area.
Good heavens.
Yeah, yeah. So having an adult who's there, who cares, who has gotten through school themselves, to be a role model can make a big, big difference, can help a kid whose family may not have gone through that or whose parents may be real intimidated by the school system. It just can help kind of problem solve in a lot of ways. And that relationship then can pull through in ways that are really exciting. I know Jane here is a great example of a situation where by her presence in the life of a child, I think it really shifted big time how that young woman's ideas about school developed.
Well, Jane Bernard, tell us your story, because you have a real lovely success story of being a big sister.
Well, thank you. Corrine and I were matched when she was in the sixth grade. I think she was 11 years old. And she was living with two parents, her mom and her stepdad. And her parents really cared about her, but her mother was not well and didn't have a lot of extra time and energy. They lived in low-income housing. And Corrine is a really remarkable person. And I think she had dreams for herself, but by spending time with me, she got exposure to a whole other world, and her dreams really expanded and got a whole lot bigger. And she is now living in Salt Lake. She's the first person in her family to graduate from college. She went to Adams State, where she actually served as student body president her senior year.
That's a great place.
Yeah, and she had a phenomenal experience there. She studied pre-law. And now she's running the student services for a computer science college in Salt Lake City. She's a really dynamic, big-hearted, smart, interested, compassionate person. And, you know, she had all those ingredients to begin with, but she just really needed someone to spend a little extra time with her. And when you talk about what do you do with a match, how do you spend your time, so much of it is just spending time with them. It almost, in a way, doesn't matter what you do. just to know that someone cares and someone is interested in them and their life. I mean, we did a real variety of things together, but probably one of...
Didn't you take her to the opera?
That was our first date, so to speak. She was in the sixth grade, and she had no idea what opera was about. And she was pretty shy, and I think she was a little bit overwhelmed meeting me for the first time and then going to the opera. We saw the Countess Maritza. It went until really late in the evening. And what I remember most about that opera is by the third act, I was struggling to keep my eyes open. And she was sitting on the edge of her seat. She was so thrilled with the whole thing, the staging, the costumes, the singing. She's really passionate about music, too. And it just rocked her world. So she was very interested in the arts, which was really fun. But probably some of my favorite memories with Corrine, I would pick her up, we'd go to a park near where she lived, usually after dark, and we'd hang out in the swings, and we'd talk. And I'd bring my dog, who she adored, and we'd walk the dog and just visit, and I'd ask her what was going on with her, and she'd tell me about school and friends. She had a lot of really challenging issues with her friends. When I first met her, she had friends in this housing complex that she lived in. And in the sixth grade, things were pretty level. But as time went on, most of her friends either got pregnant or dropped out of high school or both or got involved with boyfriends got them into trouble. And so we spent a lot of time talking about those things. And it was... you know, I remember very clearly Corrine's probably her junior year, standing with her in the bedroom of one of her best friends. Her best friend had kitten posters on the wall and was holding a brand new baby and had just dropped out of high school.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah.
So that was her community. And that didn't happen for her. You know, that was a really powerful experience for me and something that I'll never forget. Which brings me to, you know, my relationship with Corrine was phenomenal for Corrine. It changed her life. We were matched for 7 or 8 years until she became 18, although we're still very much in each other's lives. But it was a really rich experience for me too, and life-changing in many ways. You know, I got a window into a world that was very different from my own. I'm very friendly with her parents, and I became very friendly with her circle of friends, and they really mean a lot to me. And it was really enriching to see someone who, in sixth grade, was really shy. And at the time, she did have dreams, like I said. She wanted to be a teacher, but to watch her unfold and develop into this dynamic, passionate, compassionate person who's very interested in social justice, in the arts, in helping others. She became a peer counselor at Santa Fe High School.
I hate to say it, but she sounds a lot like you.
Well, when Andrea was talking about people being really intuitive within the organization about
putting people together, they saw it from the beginning.
Yeah, they really hit it out of the park, I think. We were really a perfect match. And, you know, I don't have a sister, and I really consider Corrine to be my sister.
Yeah.
We still talk on the phone regularly. I don't see her as much as I wish I did, but we're still very much in each other's lives. And she's an only child. So for her to have a connection like she does with me is really important and enriching for her.
I think there's a lot of people, both women and men, who really never wanted to have children, but they wanted very badly to be an aunt or an uncle, and sometimes are an aunt or an uncle. And having a relationship like that, where you're not the primary 24/7 caregiver, but you really can form that kind of a relationship and do fun things that you just wouldn't necessarily do with your parents.
Exactly. It is really special, and I have stepchildren, but I don't have any children of my own. And also, it gave me an excuse to go to softball games. I went to softball games and choir, you know, performances, and I got to watch her graduate from Santa Fe High, and we did things like swinging on the swings, you know, which I have to tell you is really a lot of fun, but it's not something that I really do with my friends.
Right. So we're talking about big brothers, big sisters. Not too long ago, I had somebody on who was talking about a campaign to get 100 men in 100 days to be big brothers. How did
That's
that
right.
go?
Well, it's still ongoing. It
hasn't been 100 days yet, I think.
No, it hasn't been 100 days yet. But we definitely are getting response. I'm not sure if you spoke to Ben Chavarria, but it was very exciting to me to see that he was the first match out of that that set of folks. And speaking with Ben yesterday about how well his match is going, and he pointed out that from his perspective, this is his chance to take the lessons that he learned as a kid growing up in a tough part of Santa Fe, having some gang experience and making some really poor choices, and then running into some mentors who helped him go through that to the point where he's now a member of the Santa Fe Police Department. And he said he feels like if he can take those experiences and help a young man not have to go through quite so much to get to the other side.
Right.
He really hopes he can. And so the 100 Men in 100 Days campaign, it's moving forward. I've been watching the interviews happening very, very steadily in our Santa Fe office. But, boy, we need more. We definitely need more.
Gentlemen listening, please step up. Thank you very much.
Please, 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 please. And just in case you're listening from another part of northern New Mexico, we do serve Santa Fe, Los Alamos, Rio Arriba, Taos, San Miguel, Mora, and McKinley counties. You may recall that when we first were talking about, 9 years ago, it was only Santa Fe County, but we're now out in all those areas, and boys need mentors in all of them.
Big Brothers Big Sisters has been around for a while. Do you have any people who were once little brothers and sisters who've now become big brothers and big sisters to other people?
We do, and it's always really gratifying to see that. I don't have the names at the tip of my tongue, but it's been really meaningful to see when those young folks come in, not so young now, and say, you know, I benefited from having somebody in my life when I was small, and now I really want to be able to give back. It's really inspiring, and it's equally inspiring to see some of the littles who have been willing to step up and say, you know, I was a little, and I'm in a very different place now. I always like to give a shout out to Chris Valdez of Tecolote Cafe. He's the manager there, and he's been a really big proponent of Big Brothers Big Sisters because he says it literally saved his life.
Now you, Andrea, of course, were also a big sister yourself.
I was.
And that was how you got into all of this.
That was how I got into it. I was not a formal big sister in my first relationship. I have been since. But the young woman, and again, not at all so young, who I was first involved with when she was 12. I'm still good friends with her on Facebook, and she too. Facebook's amazing. She's now a grandmother. I'm not yet.
Oh, my goodness.
And she's age appropriate to be a grandmother. She raised two great kids, both in college now. Her son, who's the dad back from the service and returning to college, and you know, she still will contact me saying, okay, what do I do in this situation?
Oh, that's so sweet.
Oh, my goodness.
And she was a real support to me, too, when I went through some challenging times about 10 years ago when I was transitioning out of a marriage. And it's just amazing how the relationships form and people
evolve.
Support each other.
Yeah,
exactly.
And I could say the same for Corrine, too. She supported me through some really, you know, through some bumps in the road along the way.
Yeah.
Very interesting. So Big Brothers Big Sisters of Northern New Mexico, you are this year the recipient of the beneficent generosity of the Mayor's Ball. It's the 12th anniversary of the Mayor's Ball. Jane, you're on that committee. What's that all about?
Well, the Mayor's Ball is an annual event and at which a local nonprofit is selected to showcase their programs to the community. So it's an event. It's put on by whatever charity is selected. This year we have the good fortune to be selected. It's going to be a heck of a party. And
that's the main thing.
So everyone out there, we're listening. You should buy a ticket.
And so you people buy a ticket. They come to the Mayor's Ball. Have a wonderful time.
Time.
I went 1 year. It was really
Fun. So there's a cocktail reception, a silent auction. There's going to be some phenomenal food prepared by Santa Fe's, some of Santa Fe's top chefs. And, yes, the mayor and Carol Rose will be there, too.
Uh-huh.
So and there'll be live music. And there'll be a live auction as well. So it's a really wonderful opportunity to come out, enjoy your evening, support Big Brothers Big Sisters, and get a little bit of a tax donation at the same time.
Uh-huh.
So
proceeds benefit Big Brothers Big Sisters.
Yes, the proceeds benefit Big Brothers Big Sisters. And Thornburg Investment is one of our big sponsors for the event. So they're involved as well.
And you talk about things coming full circle. The band that we'll be playing is the Wise Guys, of whom Sam Baca is a member. And anybody out there who remembers Big Brothers Big Sisters from 30 years ago, Sam Baca was the first ever director. And he has very generously volunteered the time of the Wise Guys to come in and play. In addition to that, I've wanted to be part of a gala for Big Brothers Big Sisters for a long time, and I always knew if we were going to throw a party, we wanted to throw a really darn good party.
And this is going to be.
We're expecting up to 500 people, the auction items alone, I'm trying to figure out what I'm going to bid on. We've got confirmed trips to Portland, Hawaii, Canada, Santa Monica, farmhouse in New Hampshire, vacation place in New Jersey on the shore.
Hoboken.
yeah, right. a bunch of others coming in. So it's going to be really, really fun. And the food, as Jane is pointing out, is going to be phenomenal. Pranzo's, Casa Sena,
Amavi,
Rio Chama,
Ristra.
It's all being coordinated by Chef Carmen from Saffron Catering. And so instead of just being a bunch of different dishes, it's going to be a wonderfully coordinated family-style meal with all those restaurants and more. And then in addition to that, Southern Wine and Spirits is going to support some of the liquid part of the party, and so we really feel as though, I mean, we're talking about the party part. The other piece that I think is going to be amazing is the program. From my heart, I can say that anytime you get our littles up there, and we're going to have some of today's littles and some...
Actually, you could come and see Corrine, because she's going to participate. She's going to be up there on stage.
Yeah. And, that's enough to sell me.
our theme is It's a Big Little World, and so which works very well, very sweet. And also, I want to let people know, if they want to purchase tickets, they can call 983-8360. Tickets are $150 a piece, or you can buy a table for $1,500 for you and 9 of your friends.
Excellent. And a lot of companies do that, so there would be a bank or another kind of company that has its own table, and
Correct.
Some of their employees show up and things like that.
And we're also still looking for wonderful auction items. If there are folks that want to support Big Brothers Big Sisters but not by coming to the party, this is a chance to call us up and say, look, I can donate this or I can donate
that. Yeah, and you don't have to donate a trip to Hoboken. You can donate a vase or something.
Exactly, yeah.
A massage.
Uh-huh.
Right. We're talking to Andrea Fisher Merrill and Jane Bernard of Big Brothers Big Sisters. Now, there's also Native American and Hispanic initiatives within Big Brothers Big Sisters.
There are. One of the things that we started looking at shortly after I came was that while we were providing good services, we weren't reaching all segments of the community equally. And so the first thing we did was to coordinate locally and then help nationally a Hispanic initiative. And our goal there was to change the face of our agency in all ways, not simply by getting more kids involved, but more Hispanic volunteers, more Hispanic board members, more staff, making sure that all of our materials were culturally appropriate and that our staff were trained. And so then about 3 years ago, we got approached by our national office to work on a Native American initiative. I still laugh at that because the fellow who approached us from national said it should probably be easier to do. And knowing our local culture, I realized that it was going to be a lot more complicated to do, but very, very worthwhile. So since that time, we have increased our Hispanic matches from our Native American matches from 3% to last I looked, 13%. And that includes having a Native American staff member, having more appropriate materials, and also working with other agencies in the state to form a Native American Advisory Council. And we have representatives from McKinley, from our resource board there, and then also Valerie Lyon here from 8 Northern Pueblo has been very involved from that end. We're working hard to coordinate outreach to Navajo Nation through a partnership with two or three other Big Brothers Big Sisters agencies, and then 8 Northern, Valerie's been opening a lot of doors. I presented about 2 months ago to the Council of Governors at 8 Northern, and they're putting together a letter of support for us. And it's really very meaningful to us because we don't want to be doing this as outsiders being intrusive. For both our Hispanic and Native American initiatives, we want to do it from the inside, where we're being advised by people who know better than we do, and that we're very serious about what we're doing. And that's meant that our mentors are much more diverse than they used to be, too. And, you know, just as we were talking about earlier, that some boys need men in their lives, some of our Native American and Hispanic kids really, really want a mentor from a culturally similar background.
Right.
So it's been a hard reach because the concept of mentoring is very, very familiar in both Hispanic and Native American cultures. It hasn't translated to mentoring as we traditionally think of it from a more Anglo perspective. So it's been cool to watch that. I have learned so much. I have to tell you, our Leonard Joe, our Native American program staff person in Gallup, took me to the Navajo Nation in Window Rock to see the council headquarters and a couple of other places that are important to him, and I was blown away. I mean, I think that kind of openness I hope to encourage in everybody that works with us, that, you know, to look through other people's eyes.
And whatever the culture is and everything else, one thing that is consistent for Big Brothers and Big Sisters is that the kids who were in that program do much better out in life and in school and so on.
They do. Kids who have been matched through Big Brothers Big Sisters for a year or more are 46% less likely to start using drugs, 27% less likely to start drinking, 52% less likely to skip a day of school, and 37% less likely to skip a class. They're less likely to hit someone, and we've also been named as one of the blueprints for violence prevention nationwide. In northern New Mexico, all of those things are real challenges, and so a kid who has a mentor can see a different way.
Very, very interesting. That's huge.
It is, and it's a really powerful agent for change in a very simple, very within reach, you know.
Very comfortable way.
Yeah, very comfortable way. So,
well, a very natural way. I mean,
you're right.
If you think about it, the basis of all positive human interactions and phenomena are relationships between one person and another, or in small groups. That's how we become who we are.
Mm-hmm.
So for anyone listening out there who wants to make a difference in a small way,
In a small, big way.
It's a big little world. In a small, big way.
We're getting corny now.
Yeah, we are getting corny. But I would encourage them to think about being a big.
Big Brothers Big Sisters can be found on the web at...
Just Google Big Brothers Big Sisters of Northern New Mexico. Yeah. That's how you'll get there.
And if you Google Big Brothers Big Sisters, you find all the different chapters all over the country, which is interesting, too, to sort of skip around. But Northern New Mexico is our chapter here. And what's the phone number?
505-983-8360.
And once again, the Mayor's Ball is on October 16th. Jane Bernard and Andrea Fisher Merrill, thank you so much for being with us on Radio Cafe.
Thank you for having us.
You've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're streaming live on the web at ksfr.org, podcasting at santafe.radiocafe.org, thanks to Dotfoil Computer Services. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes. You can find us at facebook.com/radiocafe, and my email address is radiocafe@ksfr.org. Stay tuned for the BBC, then local news by KSFR's award-winning news team, and after that, jazz.